Cavani with the pump fake and one dribble inside to the long two, and he makes it. That's been his game his whole career. But look at him smiling. We go, my bad. The long two. My bad.
Welcome to another episode of The Long Two.
I am Pete Rogers. He is Natty Wallach, and we are a Carmelo Stanthony podcast that occasionally talks fantasy basketball. Natty, how you doing today?
What's up, Pete? Howdy. How you doing?
I am good. I am good. I feel like we should, I don't know if you have this specifically somewhere in your notes for today's show, but I figure I don't, and I figure as a Carmelo Stanthony podcast, we should probably start by giving the man some credit for becoming the 12th highest scorer in NBA history this week. So shout out to the GOAT. We all know it's true. If we all looked into our hearts, we'd realize that Carmelo Anthony is indeed the greatest basketball player of all time. And now is currently the 12th highest scorer in NBA history on a very saucy, a very Carmelo spinning fadeaway two-pointer.
He's averaging 12 and a half points this year. Portland is as Portland does, but it's awesome that Melo's still in the league. It still seems so strange that he missed a year. It really does.
But you know what? Maybe that's going to ultimately benefit him the most because we'll maybe get a couple more years out of him now.
Hey, sure. Totally. I mean, there's hardly anybody left in Portland. So it ended up being an incredibly good fortuitous signing.
Oh my God. Such a good move for Portland because yes, he is, they need bodies there. They need bodies who can play basketball. And like we said, there's no one in NBA history who's better than Carmelo Anthony.
As soon as he retires, they should just stop the league, right? They're stop the sport.
Basketball is over then. I mean, what's the point of playing?
Unless he wants to coach.
I feel like he's on top. He has to be like towards the top of the list of most, I don't know if underrated is the right word, but like underappreciated maybe I feel like there is a generation of young basketball fans who have only known later Knicks and then the rest of the later part of Melo's career and don't understand like the Denver Nuggets Carmelo Anthony was just a basketball joy.
Yeah. I mean, not for him. He demanded to leave even after Chauncey.
But he played good basketball, Natty.
Sure. He is going to be his decision to go to the Knicks and to force their hand and give up all of those assets in a trade rather than just waiting to get signed is going to be the thing that that's the lens that everyone will see his career through, because the Knicks ended up not doing anything. And he weakened the team by going there earlier than he needed to. But, you know, whatever. Get the fuck out of Dodge and get to the Garden. Melo has had three different, maybe four different careers, really. It seems like the New York to OKC trade started a third age, and now he's in his fourth. He's a delightful player. I think people really hated on him for a while, and now they've come back around and they're like, oh yeah, he's so good, Hall of Famer, but they disregard the empty stats and the decisions that he made. I mean, he could have had a complete other trajectory. He could have stayed in Denver.
He could have done a lot of things, but he is a Hall of Famer. Like, you can't tell the story of the, 2000s without mentioning Carmelo Anthony.
One of the best scorers ever, just a natural, like, he's sort of the dude that was the natural scorer in the NBA before Durant. And then Durant is at maybe the most natural scorer ever.
Yeah. Well, it's second to Tatum.
Sure. Hard agree. You're totally right. I apologize.
Thank you. I just feel like Tatum needs some more respect. He's being underappreciated.
He's 7 years old. So maybe in a couple of months, people will be like, you know what? Tatum's a Hall of Famer.
Right. You know, maybe when he turns 21, he'll be the Hall of Famer that we all know and love. All right, let's start the show. Let's start talking. Let's start with our biggest takeaways for the previous week, as we always do, where we each share one thing we loved and hated from the previous week. Natty, what did you love this past week?
I loved the King. Woo! I loved me some LeBron. First of all, fuck the All-Star game. Right on.
Yeah, don't worry. We'll get to that.
He is just sensational. The Lakers are 20-6. They look like the best team in the NBA. They're on a six-game win streak. The last three games have all had overtimes.
All of them.
Including a double overtime versus Detroit. So over the last three games, they've had four extra quarters of play, another whole game.
Well, so basically, if the Detroit Pistons were able to take the best team in the NBA to a double overtime, does that not make them the second best team in the NBA?
Or the luckiest team that night. Either one is fine with me. That
You'll
was a cool
accept
game.
Either. Cool.
The problem, though, is that when LeBron beats you in overtime and you're a Pistons fan, there's a lot of bad memories that come back, sure. Even though he's wearing a different uniform. But LeBron, he's averaging his most three-point attempts of his career, 6.9, and sinking them at 39.4%.
Averaging his most made threes, too.
Yeah. He is. So the last time he's only shot better than 40% from three once, and that was 2012-13 in Miami, but that was on half as many attempts. He's doing everything. Their losses are to the Clippers, the Blazers, the Spurs, the Warriors, the Sixers, and the Pistons. But, you know, if you care, like LeBron's top 10 in defensive real plus minus. LeBron James is ninth. Miles Turner is 10th. And people are talking about Miles Turner for defensive player of the year. LeBron's just doing his regular thing, which is that every year his game kind of changes and he chooses how to accentuate his game. Some things, you know, recede. He's dishing dimes. He doesn't need to do as much on offense anymore, but that team is a real fucking for real juggernaut. He's not taking it easy. It seems like he wants MVP. It seems like there's really no one who could stop him from doing that if they continue being this good. The Lakers this year seem like apex Cleveland, apex Miami. They just seem incredible, and it's just LeBron. He's doing the same thing that he always does, which is be the best player in the league and the smartest.
Yeah. And I agree with you on your points about LeBron and that it's nice that you talked about him, because I feel like in a weird year like this, where you have players like Kevin Durant, and I have lots to say about Kevin Durant, but you have COVID rearing its ugly head when it comes to a lot of players and just players getting injured, the whole nine yards, that like it is, I feel like it's important to take time to be like, recognize the fact that, hey, look, we don't need to talk about like the fringe players who are having good games all the time. Like, we can talk about the fact that LeBron James, who everyone knows is one of the best basketball players in the history of the sport, in the history of existence, and who single-handedly is going to pull another Michael Jordan and help save the world from aliens coming this summer. It's like, he's still doing it. He's still doing it at 36 years old and playing all 26 games and averaging 34 minutes a game. Like, the man doesn't age. The man is still doing it. The same level of appreciation that you are giving the fact that Tom Brady just won his seventh Super Bowl on a different team at the age of 43. Like we are watching two players in two different sports showing that like age is just, if you do it right and you're conscious about your body from like a young point, that like age is just not a factor, and that we are going to have to start changing our expectations for like older players.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe it's just that he's LeBron.
Maybe
James
we're
and he's
right.
Tom
maybe
Brady.
We're just I watching mean, two just, of like the craziest right. freakish body types. And even though I don't necessarily would say that Tom Brady's body looks anything like LeBron James, but clearly he's doing something right to have lasted this long.
dude, LeBron's averaging the most minutes per game on the Lakers. He's the oldest dude on the Lakers, I think, or at least, oh, he and Marcus Big Spain are both 36. So they're the two.
But that's your, but that's your thing right there. That's, he's 36 too, and he looks like a 36-year-old.
Yeah, and like, he's averaging 19 minutes, and LeBron's averaging 35.
Right, LeBron looks like he's still like in his early 30s. He looks like he's back in Miami or Cleveland. It is ridiculous. It is utterly absurd. My love for this week is De'Aaron Fox taking the Kings by the cojones and leading them to a 1-7 record over the last 8 games. He Fuck has, right. I mean, for the month of February, De'Aaron Fox averaging 31.6 points, 9 assists, shooting 52% from the field and 36% from three. But I've watched 2 of their games this month, and it's just the thing that like all that gets me. And it's the same thing when I was watching the Celtics Jazz game about Don Mitch. The both of them, their burst just is mind blowing to me. They can be standing at a dead standstill, like the 3-point line, just dribbling, and then suddenly they're in the paint scoring or drawing a foul. Like both of those guys just can accelerate on a dime instantly, get wherever they want on the field. And things are just clicking for this Kings team. Finally, like there's so much talent on this team and they're starting to make the right roster decisions. Like Rashawn Holmes is now finally starting. De'Aaron Fox is the things are clicking with him. Tyrese Haliburton, that like pick was just
incredible,
phenomenal, exactly what they needed. So this team is exciting. Like I am excited to see this team that has often languished in both obscurity and stupidity. Kind of things start clicking, though. Part of me does hate seeing the Kings put it together because another dude who's balling out for the Kings, Harrison Barnes, low key would love the Celtics to make a move for him, but the Kings aren't going to sell if they're doing well.
No way.
16 points, 6 rebounds, 3.5 assists, 41% from three. Harrison Barnes.
I'm not hating on Boring Harry, but like if you guys are going to trade for a player, especially a big money one, you should fucking make it count. Like a big buy. What is that? Let's get another dude on the wing. Let's just get all of them. Fine.
Yeah.
Maybe Kemba should start hitting his threes. Maybe that.
Yeah. Well, don't worry. We'll talk about Kemba.
Anyway, Sacramento is 7-3 over their last 10. They're finally at 500. They're a game out of the 8th seed. So right now they're in the playoff play-in game, if it happened today.
Which is also just Memphis. Like, I mean, I'm happy.
Miss it.
I would love for the Kings to like actually make it into the playoffs. That would be great fun. But Jesus Christ, a Kings Memphis play-in game.
Yeah.
Sign me the fuck up for that.
Especially
if everyone's healthy. This De'Aaron Fox against Ja Morant. Yes.
Beautiful. Sacramento, every time they do something correct, they do so, it's not even just one thing that they do wrong. They just fire blindly into the air. Like
it does feel like there's like the inevitability is about to come and something terrible is about to happen to this team.
Like, I don't respect this franchise one little bit. One little bit. Yeah. And every time they make a decision, like I full on am not going to give them credit for Haliburton. Like, I think they just fell into that pick. He was there. I don't think they thought about it too much. He's great. And they're lucky to have him.
Totally.
But you could have made the argument that it's like, well, you know, Buddy Hield's still here. So is he getting crowded out? Like, why do we have this guy? If we send him back to the bench, is he going to have another fucking hissy fit? The Bogdan Bogdanovich thing.
But like that kind of worked out for them because I don't think he would have helped. Like he would have.
Right. But the result this lineup for shouldn't right. prejudice you against the process. Totally. Like there's the. Sure, when you make lots of moves, some of them might turn out to be okay, but they just keep giving up advantages. But whatever, Luke Walton somehow brought the team together. Rashawn Holmes is better than Marvin Bagley. Maybe the Pistons should try to trade for Marvin Bagley, just putting that out there. Someone should, if he's not really going to get, you know, as
can I ask you this question? Can I ask you this question before we get to your hate?
Of course.
Who would you rather have if you had the opportunity to start your franchise with either of these two players? Who would you rather have, Marvin Bagley Jr. or Luka Doncic? Not that this was a question that the Kings had to answer themselves, but I'm just
tough
asking.
One.
I know.
It might be a wash, right?
Oh, okay. Because
they're both good at different things.
They're both good at, Definitely drafting Marvin Bagley Jr. over Luka Doncic is at least the Trae Young thing. Like, Trae Young is a number two on a championship team, maybe. Right? But, like, that's what is Marvin Bagley Jr.? A number two.
We don't know yet because the fucking Kings won't give us a chance to find out. Like, yes, there have been injuries and the roster's tumultuous. And does Luke Walton know what he's doing? Does the franchise know what they're doing? Why is Buddy Hield still there? I think it's just because the owner loves him so much and wants to be right that he's Steph Curry 2.0, even though there's 1,000 Steph Curry 2.0s in the pipeline and people in the league now. So
everyone's shooting threes.
Whatever. De'Aaron Fox is fucking lightning. Halliburton is awesome. Boring Harry is there. There are players on this team that I like. And it would be nice to see the Kings do well because they've been so ass butt for so, so long.
Agreed.
And they can make trades. Like, obviously I don't trust them to do it properly, but like they could do it.
It could happen. Natty, what'd you hate this week?
I hated how we're talking about Westbrook and the Wizards.
Tell me more.
Last night, StatMuse, which is great Twitter follow, they sent out a stat saying the Washington Wizards are 4-3 without Westbrook, and they're 2-13 with him. Now, that scoreboard numbers, like, just look at that shit. Like, has to mean something because it happened. So if that's all that it means, just that it happened, it still means that. However, here are the Wizards' wins. They've beaten the Timberwolves, the Suns, the Heat, and the Bulls. They've beaten the Nets twice. Those are Westbrook's wins. No Wizard who plays 17-plus minutes per game has a 37 three-point percentage in the year of 2021, which is basically like league average. On the season, there are 132 NBA players who play at least 17 minutes per game and do have a 37-plus three-point percentage. There are 76 who average 17 minutes per game and shoot four threes per game. These dudes are out there. On the season, Thomas Bryant, who's injured, was the Wizards' best three-point shooter, 42.9% on 2-plus attempts per game. Right now, it's Denny Avdija, who's at 38%, and Raul Neto, who's at 37.7%. Both of them are shooting over.
The Wizards' roster just sounds like created 2K players.
Dude, my man. Davis Bertans, who we both fell in love with on the Spurs, the Latvian Laser, one of the Wizards' big offseason acquisitions. He's shooting threes worse than Lonzo.
Ugh.
Now, Lonzo's not as bad as you think. He's at 37.4 on the season.
He's been shooting better.
7-plus attempts. Oh, he's fired right now, for sure. Bertans,
just in time to get his trade value through the roof.
I mean, they should keep him. They should absolutely keep him.
So I'll say.
But all right, continue. Some of your other shit. Let's see. Here are some things that the Washington Wizards as a team are bottom 10 in.
Okay.
They are bottom 10 in the NBA. And remember, this is the whole Wizards team. It's not just Sergeant Russell Westbrook, who we all like to hate on right now. They're bottom 10 in three-point percentage, in rebounds per game, in blocks per game, in steals per game. In blocks per game, they're tied for last with Miami. They're the only two teams who average under 4 blocks per game anyway. The Wizards are bottom 10 in free throw percentage, but they're second in free throw attempts. They're second.
Oh, Wizards.
They are, and it's worse than that. Okay, so you get free throws by drives, right? Most of the time. The Wizards are bottom 10 in field goal percentage on drives. They're missing the layups, and then they're missing the fucking free throws, and they're taking a lot of them. They're second to last in defensive rating. They are last in opponents' three-point percentage, meaning that opponents, the teams they play,
What are they shooting?
Threes best against the Wizards. 39.9% from three. Kawhi, just to put that in context, so 39.9 are what opponents are shooting against the Wizards from three. Kawhi Leonard has a 40.2 three-point percentage on the season. It's just a team of Kawhis from outside when you play the Wizards. Now, again, this is a team that is a step away from being a tanking team on purpose. I mean, they're one of the worst teams in the three teams only have six wins. It's Wizards, Pistons, and T-Wolves. So that's how bad they are. Rui Hachimura on the Wizards. He's 23 years old. He's fourth in total minutes on the team. Denny Avdija is 20 years old. He's fifth in total minutes. And Thomas Bryant, their starting center before he got injured, was 23 years old. Like, this is a team that is super young, aside from Westbrook, and now aside from Robin Lopez. Some of this sort of makes sense. When you just step away from it and sort of block out Westbrook's name, you're like, oh yeah, well, you know, they have a bunch of forwards that aren't really supposed to be able to be good perimeter scorers. Like, mm-hmm. the Latvian Laser is supposed to be one, but he can't defend. And he, you know, started the season slow. He's heating up a little bit, but, you know, Bradley Beal's taking all these, like, the team just sucks. The team is super fucking mediocre, but that sort of makes sense because of how many of the players are young. And then you look at what John Wall's doing in Houston and you're like, well, even if he's missing games, that's still better than what Westbrook's doing here. So the front office has somehow, like, gotten Westbrook to be the blame, even though this is the team that the front office constructed. Like, this is, mm-hmm. they're not losing all these games because of Westbrook. They're losing all these games because of the roster. Like, yeah. if you put John Wall there, it's not like they'd have 10 more wins. Maybe, you know, maybe they'd have 10 wins, but it's everybody else. They can't fucking defend. They can't shoot. It sucks. That team sucks. And I had high hopes for them. I still feel like they could turn it around if they wanted
to. Maddie is, like, personally offended by this team.
Well, because the Laser was supposed to be the thing that opened up the court for Westbrook, right? Yep. And he's been a disappointment so far. Now, things were, you know, there are reasons for that. But when your backups are two NBA babies, Rui Hachimura doesn't have an outside shot. You know, they're still developing. Denny Avdija has been fine. This is, like, Ish Smith is on this team and they've needed him, you know, like, there's Alex Len has been playing for them because they need him. This team, if they hadn't traded for Westbrook, I feel like we'd think about this team a lot differently, you know, like, oh, they're a year away.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, no, I'm when Westbrook eventually retires, I'm going to need a 30 for 30 on just, like, where this, like, visceral hatred for him came from.
Because since the NBA changed the free throw rule, which meant that Westbrook had to change how he shot free throws, he used to just walk to midcourt, go to the logo, and then walk back in between shots. Can't do that anymore. Since then, his free throws have, like, precipitously gone off. His ratios are terrible. All right, he's averaging 19 points while shooting 41% from the floor. Yikes.
Not great.
66% from the free throw line. Again, the Wizards are second in free throw attempts per game. They can't do anything right. I don't hate Scott Brooks, but, like, it doesn't look like anyone's really getting better or playing well. And I don't really think I like the new front office either. So whatever, it's seeming more and more like this is a lost season for the Wizards. But the reason that sucks is that what if they are just 1 year away?
Yeah.
And then Beal, you know, like, if you trade him and then you're suddenly good, you're going to hate yourself. So, or not suddenly good, but, like, you look better.
You can contend. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. This is really tough. But I just wanted to say that I hate blaming Westbrook for all of this, because when you look at the rest of the roster and you actually watch their games, you suddenly understand why they only have six wins.
A good hate for the week. My hate for this week, I have beef with the entire NBA, Natty.
Yeah, it's been said that. What happened,
I know. It's been kind of building. This week hasn't been great. First off, the whole how they handled COVID with KD was he started the game and then they benched him and then they got rid of him halfway through and now is out for a couple of days because he was in a car with someone who tested positive, but he tested negative multiple times. And it's all out of like this abundance of caution, which is really just like they're covering their own ass. But that whole handling is wrong. The All-Star game is happening, which is just a giant money grab. And LeBron has basically said as such. So has like all of the top, like the top five players in the league are all just like, this is dumb. Why are we doing this? So that's not great. And then cherry on top, Mark Cuban not playing the national anthem for the entire season. That comes out. And then the NBA doesn't notice this until it comes out. And then they were like, oh, you should actually be doing that. Because, you know, fake patriotism is really profitable. So we're going to make a rule that now you have to play the national anthem before every game. I just think
there's no fucking fans.
There's no fucking fans. And there is just the NBA. And I will say I have played into this certainly on this podcast before where I will be like, man, the NBA is just a great league. It's just so much better when you compare it to like the NFL. But that's also comparing like, you know, a B student to a failing student. Like the B student could still improve. And so like there are times when the NBA acts very holier than thou. But you have to always remember that the bottom line, it is they want to make money, and they have still, there are still fundamental things that they just can't break through, despite the fact that they are one of the more progressive professional sports leagues. So I just have some residual beef with the NBA after this week.
I think that's fair, man. Like the national anthem thing is craven and who gives a fuck?
It's so but dumb.
There's no fan that really, or, you know, there's a handful of fans. Who cares? Who cares?
It's so dumb. It's so dumb. The fact that,
like, do you sing that song before you go to work every day? Do you sing and the national anthem before you leave your house?
If you did, you know what you would call that? You'd be like, that is a dictatorship. Like if any other country was like, you have to play the national anthem before you go to work, and have to play it at every sporting event, you have to play it, blah, blah, blah. You know what America would be like? That seems like, a repressive regime. But no, it's patriotic here. It's patriotic to listen to the national anthem before watching sports.
The All-Star game point is well taken. However, I think that it was more mismanaged rather than just a bad idea in general. Like, I think you could have an All-Star weekend without players playing. You could do 2K, which you love. You could done like, hey, whichever teams have, you could have done like a Young Stars, a Rising Stars tournament, or, you know, done something with the G League,
or like they're talking
every
about
team
dunk
that
contest.
Didn't make the bubble. You can they're play about, in these two exhibition games,
right? They're talking about the dunk contest and 3-point, like those. You're not having bodies hitting each other, you know, like that's something where everyone's isolated. Great. Exactly. Do that. The 2K thing is a great idea. The NFL did that for their Pro Bowl where they had players basically Twitch stream playing Madden. I'm sure like that would, that's, there are things that could have done instead of that. So anyways, just, you know, yeah, NFL, the NBA, really NBA getting brought down a couple notches this week. And so, you know, it's good to have a harsh confronting with reality. And that's important sometimes.
I just want to say for the KD thing though.
Yeah.
If I was Adam Silver, if I was the commissioner, I would act with caution with him too. I'd be like, no, we can't. This is Brooklyn. It's a trio now. Like, we want it to be him versus LeBron in the finals.
Sure.
I'll surround him with fucking soldiers from the future in mech suits with flamethrowers and lightsabers if I have to. I really just don't feel like they would have handled it that way with a player of lower stature. I think they would have just been pulled and it wouldn't have been a big deal at all. And, but you know, it's Kevin Durant. Like, it's hard to pull LeBron, you know, like there are some guys who seem bigger than the game. And when they say they're not going out or, you know, like check again, you sort of have to do that. Yeah. So abundance of caution with the faces of my league. I am for, especially since that dude has been injured. Like, COVID is serious. We can't take it lightly. We must protect Kevin Durant at all costs. It has to be him versus Giannis in the conference finals and him versus LeBron in the finals. That is what will save us.
Wow. Wow. More shade being thrown at the Celtics.
I mean,
I don't want to hear it, Daddy. We're moving on. I don't want to hear your pitiful excuse for your Freudian slip. All right, now it's time for the Jan Vesely favorite stat line of the week, named in honor of Wizards great Jan Vesely, who back in 2013 posted a stat line of 4 points, 2 rebounds, and 6 fouls in 8 minutes of play. Maddie, what was your favorite stat line of the week?
My fave is TJ McConnell, who last Friday, this motherfucker who I'm falling harder and harder in love with, and he used to be Joel Embiid's best friend, I guess, in Philadelphia.
Really?
Anyway, Embiid was upset that they didn't keep him.
TJ, are we going to have the debate that the Philly should have traded Ben Simmons before they traded TJ McConnell?
It's a nice sort of handcuff to have, I think, with Simmons and McConnell, just because of this, actually. In 28 minutes off the bench last Friday against the Pelicans, TJ McConnell scored 9 points, grabbed 2 rebounds, 2 steals, and 15 assists. That's 1-5.
What?
1-5 assists. Only TJ and Draymond Green have had games this season with 15 plus assists in under 30 minutes. Only Trae Young, Kyle Lowry, James Harden, Luka Doncic, Chris Paul, Joker, Westbrook, Draymond, and TJ have had games with 15 or more assists this season. TJ McConnell is 26% rostered, y'all. Go pick that dude up, because the steals and the dimes are worth the fucking roster spot. That was 15 minutes in under 30. Come on.
Incredible.
Or 15 times.
Assist in under 30 minutes. Incredible. That is very, very worthy of this segment. Natty, can you guess, we talked about him earlier, can you guess what Kemba Walker shot from the field in the last 2 games for the Celtics? Grand total.
1 for 23.
Close. 6 for 32. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Not great. Not great. I love Kemba, and I don't know if his knee is still bugging him, but or if things have just like drastically changed. But damn, I don't know what to do with him in terms of in my mind. I am sadly starting to include him in every trade I can think of, and trying to figure out how to get his. It's just. And I've talked
you
about
like
this
go
with,
on the trade machine. You're like, yeah,
oh, you're damn
what
right.
What about Terry Rozier's contract? Could that like fit back in here? What's up with that?
That was a good dig. You got me. That was sad.
My most recent kick. I mean, obviously the free Vooch movement, getting him into Boston would be delicious.
Absolutely.
My new one also, and they're playing tonight, is the Kemba Lowry swap.
Yeah, I
Who
don't know why.
No, well,
but why would the Raptors do that?
I don't know, because the Raptors right. want to rebuild like a motherfucker.
But their front office is too good at their job. I mean,
they're too smart.
Kyle Lowry, I think, is a dude that deserves to stay if he wants to. So yeah. I feel like you have to ask him before he gets traded. But Kyle Lowry in green would be.
Him and Marcus
very nice.
Smart together.
Very, very,
tell
very
me,
nice.
Tell me how you score on this. Tell me how you score on Kyle Lowry, Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Time Lord Bob Williams.
Dude, maybe it's not a bad idea to have someone who's actually won something on your team.
Wow.
You know, or on your coaching staff. Because like
this, fucking take digs at Pete podcast? Jesus.
I'm just saying, dude, like there are voids in this team up front and out back.
Yeah.
And like, I don't think they're going to win this year, but if they made a trade like for Vooch and Kemba got healthy, then that should be considered a deep, solid team with aspirations
for
a championship.
The thought of Vooch makes me so happy. But I do want to like Kemba. I would love for Kemba to stay with the Celtics. And I would love for him to like things to click. The issue has just is that he has become a streaky scorer now. Which is fine if you're like the fourth option on a team, right? If it is Tatum, Brown, and someone like Vooch, Like, if that is, then you have Kemba as that fourth option. Great. That's fine. You can be a streaky shooter like that. But when the weird COVID time where you're having, like, Brown has missed games, Tatum has missed games, if Kemba sometimes has to be thrust as, like, the number two option, especially with Smart out, and Kemba, like, the Lakers game, man, he missed a, like, 10-footer. And it's just like that. And that was the game. And some games he gets hot, and that's great. You love to see it. But the problem is he just has a tendency to get cold at just the worst possible moment. And that's not something you want, especially for an undersized guard who then kind of is a defensive liability on the other end, especially in playoff, you know, series. So we'll see.
I will say this, devil's
advocate. Please shoot better, Kemba.
I don't feel like we've seen 100% Kemba in green yet, like when it mattered. So
I hope,
you know, a nice break for the All-Star game, I think, would probably do him really well. And I would love to see him become as potent as he used to be in the green. But I also feel like some of his potency was because he had to be the dude. And so if he's not forcing it anymore, then maybe that he just needs a second to change his game. You know, like, maybe this is just a transition moment for him too, where he has to relearn, you know, like, I'm getting old. I am playing with dudes that are better than me. Last year was super weird. You know, Gordon's gone and now we don't have a center. Like, everything's super strange, but none of it will matter if he's not healthy. Like, if he can't be, for at least parts of games, Kemba, then you guys will go nowhere.
Yeah. Speaking of breaks, Natty.
Nice fucking job.
Thank you. We're going to take a quick ad break. All right, we're back. Let's turn to the next week and talk some favorite waiver wire ads. To start, Natty, my top waiver wire ad this week, I wrote about him on my fantasy basketball forecaster. I know. You can find it every week on Mondays at fadeteams.com. Yes, plugging the website here so you can go actually read things. The lone survivor in Portland, Gary Trent Jr.
Last man standing.
And you love the last man standing. In the month of February, he is averaging 18.4 points, 3.6 rebounds, 2.4 assists, one stock in 35 minutes, 41% rostered in ESPN. He is getting so much usage because Portland has absolutely no one alive on their roster. And
Jesus.
It's rough. We've talked about it in shows before. And even if it's for a little blip, even if it's, you know, before players start getting healthy or before maybe his time gets cut, whatever it is, ride the Gary Trent Jr. train while you can and add him and let his scoring output be beneficial to you.
They have to play him. They have to. So minutes are water. They make everything else grow. It's not like he's a good player in a bad team because Portland is a good team. They just aren't a team right now. They barely have everything together. So he's got some of the safest shots in the league, I think, right now.
Definitely. Who's a top waiver ad for you this week?
Well, I was looking at several dudes this week, but...
Several!
I know. Well, first of all, go get TJ, obviously. Hamidou Diallo. Josh Hart has been volcano recently.
Josh Hart has exploded magma. Out of nowhere to suddenly
all
just become...
these fucking boards from a guard. It's great. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Joe Ingles is heating up. But I'm going to go with Mr. Patrick Williams, the Chicago Bulls rookie, who's been quiet. Like, no one's really talked about him too much. He's 18% rostered on ESPN. In February, he's averaging 12 points per game, 32 minutes per game, 6 rebounds, an assist. His 3 has been slumping. He's under 30% in February, but it should positively regress because he's 39.6 from 3 for the season. This is another dude who's getting minutes. The Bulls, I don't even know what to say. Like, the other night, the other night, the dentist and Kobe White
hit a franchise three,
right, which had never happened before. So they hit 25 threes in one game. It had never happened that teammates in NBA history both made 8 3-pointers in the same game. They also tied the NBA record for the most 3-pointers by a starting backcourt. It's just amazing that this team can't ever be all the way good at the same time. You know, the finisher's out and Wendell Carr, you know, like now Denzel Valentine is good, but Otto Porter is just guard. Like there's, I don't know what the fuck is going on, but Patrick Williams seems like he's legit. He seems like just a guy that radiates solidity. You know, like I feel like he looks like a guy who's just going to be good for a really, really, really long time. Maybe have some all-stars, maybe even be better than that. But he's like, if I'm a Bulls fan, I'm just so relieved that he's not either shit or, you know, manic depressive or just up and down. You know, it's like, oh, he's one of
you're
these
like,
dudes.
Oh, he's okay. A, he we is got a it. Solid. So, he will have a solid NBA career. And you're like, I will take that.
Because Kobe White, like he'll dish these dimes and, you know, make 8 threes. But then you're like, are you actually a
are you good
starter? Yeah.
Do we
like,
know
can
what,
you,
do we know where you are right
you
now?
Sixth man or, but he's super young. LaVine. I mean, either get him out of there or
can I tell you the best trade that I saw on the internet?
Do it.
It was the Celtics giving up a mixture of Kemba, Tice, Robert Williams, Jeremy Langford, and one or two other players, and then some picks. And it was a 3-team trade. And the Celtics, for all that, going to 2 different teams. Celtics get back Vooch and Zach LaVine. And I was like, sign me the fuck up.
Sure. Let's throw Anthony Davis in there, too.
Yeah, let's do this. I've heard, I think, Grant Williams for AD? That seems pretty fair, straight up. Seems like a fair trade to me.
That's the thing, is that there's something to be said for consistency. And so if you shake it up every year, you better have someone like LeBron James who can steady the boat, no matter who's there.
Right.
So, you know, the Celtics have had such a schizo last 4 years. It's really kind of tough to gauge how good a team they actually are from franchise, you know, down through the roster, because Tatum and Brown are so good. Right. And everyone loves Marcus Smart. But it's those three things, everything else has been weird.
Since we're on the Bulls and before we go on to my next waiver wire ad, I just want to quickly say that I have to give like major props to Zach LaVine's career trajectory.
He's because 25 years old,
this man came into the league as like, everyone was just like hyper athletic profile. Can't shoot the ball. He's only going to score via dunking, right?
Minnesota Timberwolves, by the way.
Exactly. 2 3-point attempts per game his rookie year, shot 34%. Like, okay, sure, good for you. And every year that is steadily increased. And this year he is shooting 8.3 attempts per game, 42%. Like, this man has somehow turned himself into this like elite sniper from outside while still having some of the best athleticism in the league on the court. Like, the man is just can jump out of a building. 28 points per game so far this season. I feel like he is his transformance. And maybe it's just because I haven't been paying attention, but this like becoming this just hyper elite 3-point shooter seemingly has come out of nowhere and has seemingly been underappreciated on a national stage because he's on the Bulls and the Bulls are just like, don't know what the fuck they are. But I wanted to give, since we were on the topic of the Bulls, I had to give Zach LaVine some love for turning himself into this just like elite 3-point shooter seemingly out of nowhere.
This is all happening while he has genius Jim Boylan as a coach.
Right.
While he had, you know, like there's all this other fucking dumbass bullshit
going on around him.
Yeah. Garpax just butt fucking the whole town. Jesus. I mean, there's every single reason in the world, if you're a Bulls fan, to absolutely love Zach LaVine, because he's gotten better every year and he's withstood all this fucking shit.
Oh, and he has 100% the Klay Thompson chill, I get high all the time vibes. Like, he just seems like the chillest fucking bro too, which
he also seems like a guy that would easily play with other, you know, he's seen
yes
so many different players, and he's just had to do what he's had to do. So it seems
right. Like if you
paired
him with
meld
like,
well,
yeah. Ahead. If he became like a number two or even a number three, but it was like a championship. Like I don't see him. Dude. I don't think he would like relinquish the spotlight ungracefully.
Like him and Luka would be dynamite. Him with a lot of people would be sensational.
So many people. Him with Vucevic and Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, all without having to give up any of our other important players. Seems perfect. Dude,
like
I don't know why we don't make that trade.
Shit.
Oh God. That would how would you stop the athleticism in that backcourt would be just ridiculous.
Right. They just run people. I also feel like, you know, he's only 25. Zachary.
That's also just utterly absurd.
He's just been around
stupid
forever.
He's shooting 42%.
Deal with so much BS. Yeah. I feel really bad for him. The Bulls are a joke right now. Like that franchise has been driven into the ground. What are they right now? They are 10-14.
Whoop-de-doo.
Yeah, they're worse than the Knicks. Fuck the Knicks, by the way.
But you had to love that they traded for no apparent reason to get Derrick Rose.
Dude, I'm so goddamn upset the Pistons did
what?
That.
What
I am
was that
so
trendy?
Upset they did that. First of that? All, keep Derrick Rose if the best you're getting is DSJ and a fucking second round pick. All these people were like, oh, but it could be a high second round pick. You can eat my ass. Like, what are you talking about? Keep D Rose because someone's going to need a point guard who can score in 1, 2, 3 months. Yeah. Right around. Yeah. Like, give me a fucking break. That is such a tremendously awful trade. I mean, good for the Knicks. Good for Tibbs getting his boy. I don't know what it means for the rest of the team.
It makes no sense. It was
the Pistons are fucking really pissing me off. What a stupid thing to do. What do you give a shit about? If it had been Frank Ntilikina, I would have been fine. Like, let's just take a defensive
guard.
This is payback
for the first part of the podcast where you just...
Dude, fair enough. Like, stick that knife not in my back, put it in my eyeballs because I don't want to. Dennis Smith Jr., what are you talking about? Get real, Detroit. That hurts.
Maddie is so bad.
So bad.
Tag to the waiver wire. A veteran to go add off the waiver wire, Nicholas Batum, has been starting for the Clippers, been playing well for the Clippers, and in the month of February has been giving you some really good stat lines. 11.4 points, 5.6 rebounds, 1.6 assists, 1.6 steals. Do you know who's averaging that on this season? If you take that, if that's what, you know, your whole season average, Jokic, the honeypot, Kwai, Jimmy Buckets, Drummond, DeJounte Murray, OG, and bigger Lonzo Ball, Ben Simmons. So you're getting top production, and he's doing that for this month so far, and reliable starting minutes. He started every game with the Clippers, averaging 30 minutes per game, 50% rostered in ESPN. He's a guy who I just actually added on one of my fantasy leagues, and just, you know, someone who I can plug in reliably. I know I'm going to get good stats from them. I'm going to get, you know, double digit points, maybe 6 to 7 boards. Plug him in, no problem, plus some defense.
That sounds great. I don't like the Clippers right now. I don't really like anyone on their team except for Kawhi. I mean, they're good, but sort of by default, I really just don't believe in them at all. Also, if Ben Simmons was a bigger Lonzo, then Philadelphia would be no drama. They'd love it. It'd be like, oh yeah, well, sometimes he shoots 37% from outside. Like, it's fine.
So we've gotten to the point where Lonzo Ball better than Ben Simmons. We should be describing
if he
Ben
were
Simmons
6'10", sure,
as a shittier Lonzo Ball.
Dude, the past couple of pods, we've gone back and forth
I
on
like
Simmons,
it.
And the fact remains that if you want to have any kind of chance against the Lakers, you have to be able to substantively guard their two best dudes. If you can't do that, then why do you think that you have a chance?
I mean, Ben Simmons gives you a chance. I'm not denying that, but it's also nice when your franchise player can score.
Like, let me ask you this. If Toronto was like, here's Lowry for Simmons, would Lowry make Philadelphia a more potent playoff threat?
His chonky ass could shut LeBron down, and you know it.
here.
And
Jesus,
you
come on.
No way.
LeBron's 6'9". Like, let's call him. I love Kyle Lowry too, but he's not Marcus Smart out there like guarding Embiid, pushing Embiid to the floor.
God damn it. God damn it. That picture is the greatest photo ever taken in NBA history.
Sensational.
It's so good.
Absolutely, positively the best.
Do you have any other waiver wire targets for people?
I do. It's my stud for the week as well. Going to suggest that people pick up Jayshon Tate. I can segue too. All right.
Look, you are killing it.
I appreciate that. I'm blushing now. Stop it. Anyway, Jayshon Tate is 11% rostered. Last week he averaged 12 plus points per game, 5 plus boards, an assist and a half. He's a good team defender, you know, like they play him sort of because they need to, but also because he's been a pleasant surprise. Him and Daniel House sort of seem like they're kind of in a timeshare, but you know, they're both getting minutes, and Jayshon is and Houston are playing Washington, Philadelphia, Dallas, and the Pacers. So, you know, anytime the Wizards are on your schedule,
yeah,
you are probably going to do well. Dallas ditto. And then Philly and Indiana, he's not going to be the focus of the offense, Tate. So maybe he gets some buckets because he's not being defended as hard as the stars on the team. He just seems like another smart, good player with a fun story. And Houston has been sensational on defense
in yeah.
the year of our Lord 2021. He's part of that. He's a good team defender. I've liked him a lot.
Yeah, he started the last 12 games for the Rockets, 9.3 points, 5.5 boards. It gives you an assist, gives you, 1.6 stocks on 27 minutes? That's not bad. I like those numbers. All right, well, Natty did the transition for me, but we still have to do the written transition.
You can do one, too, transition. If you want. Here, well,
I'm
going to
have
to.
I'm going to have to do a transition. It is time for Studs and Duds, in which both Natty and I pick one player who we think will perform above average in fantasy this coming week and one who will underperform. Natty is 2-for-2, batting 500 right now. DeJounte Murray letting you down this week, despite the fact that he had an absurd 8-steal game.
I don't care. That was
ridiculous.
Like, you can take all the rest of the wins for the rest of the season. That's fine. He's so fucking good.
That was insane. That performance. I was scrolling through his fantasy output history and I was like, good effing Lord, where did this score come from? Because he scored like 15 points during that game as well. And I was like, there's no way. And I was like, oh yeah, 8 steals. That would do it.
Dude, when he opens up his arms, it's like a pterodactyl spreading its wings. It's
enormous.
He has two elbows in each arm. That's how big his fucking arms are. It's nuts.
He
looks like the next Spurs star, by the way.
Yeah.
Like if he keeps ascending, he's 23, 24, then everyone needs to watch
him. That step back three he had against, was it the Clippers? That he shut them down? I don't know. He had a dagger three this week. Anyways, I get my first loss of the season at 3-1, thanks to Tyler Hero being just better than his season averages last week. So damn you, Tyler. Natty's stud for this week is Jayshon Tate. My stud for this week, podcast favorite, slow-mo Kyle Anderson.
Who he had a game.
He did have a game.
6 threes, was that?
You'll love to see that. My fantasy team loves to see it, too. Sunday, they play the Kings, Pelicans on Tuesday, and on Wednesday, they play the Thunder. All of those guys are very nice matchups for ya boy slow-mo Kyle Anderson, so I like
him. Absolutely.
Like him to have a very good week in fantasy and a DFS. Natty, who's your dud for the week?
I would also just like to say regarding slow-mo.
Yes.
3J is coming back eventually. I don't know if his minutes will eat into Kyle Anderson's, but just like we said at the top of the podcast, like ride this wave while you can.
Yes.
He looks great. It's so much fun watching him because it's so weird and then he'll do something like 6 threes in a game. It's fantastic.
He really is. I watched him recently and I was like, wow, I really understand the slow-mo nickname because he just does run in molasses, but it's effective.
Like, and he'll like dribble down a little bit, you know, like he'll hunch over slightly and you're like, you look like an old man with your, what's going on here? Where's your cane? It's crazy.
Who's your dud?
I hate saying this.
Yep, say it. Do it.
It's Kyle Lowry.
Oh, is it because they're playing the Celtics right now and Kyle Lowry currently has 6 points?
It's because they are playing the Bucks twice on the road. Yikes. In the coming weeks. Then the T-Wolves also on the road, but who cares? And then Philadelphia at home, and home is Tampa for Toronto this year.
Yeah,
so that's tough. That's fucking tough. He might have a good game against Minnesota. Maybe they'll rest him, though. But, you know, going up against Jrue Holiday and going up against Ben Simmons, who sucks, is going to be tough sledding for Kyle. I think he will still have good games, but he'll be underneath his season averages.
That's fair. I also just want to quickly say, after I spent a little bit of time on this show being worried about Kemba, currently 8 points in 8 minutes, shooting 50% from the field.
Dude, so. One of his feet is going to fall off because you said that, though.
I know. That's,
you can't jinx that shit.
I am doing a terrible job at everything.
Dude, but good Kemba is dynamite.
Good Kemba, it's good so Kemba's great. Fun. I love it's good great. Kemba. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just want good Kemba to be consistent, Kemba. My dud for the week is Bojan Bogdanović. The Jazz play a killer lineup this week. They play the Heat Saturday, Sixers on Monday, and then the Clippers on Wednesday. That is a brutal stretch of three games coming up for the Jazz. And I couldn't be like Donovan Mitchell or Rudy Gobert. I just think that none of, like, Rudy Gobert could be a tough one because you do get Bam, you get Joel, and you get Serge / whatever the other, oh god damn it, what's his name?
Ivica Zubats.
So maybe that's not a bad one. But anyways, I went with Bojan, just thinking that he's going to have a tough time going up against plenty of other guys on those teams. So there you go.
And everyone's gonna play the Jazz hard because
they're
on
the best
such
team.
A god, fucking hot streak.
Jesus, man. Watching that was a close game, and then Donovan Mitchell just decided, not gonna lose tonight, and then hits three threes in a row. He is fucking good at basketball.
Yeah,
he is really
it's so
good
awesome.
At basketball.
He's just so cool. I love him and Jamal Murray so much. I really want them to do well this year.
Mm. Finally, let us wrap up with one thing we're looking forward to this coming week. And I am going to actually hijack this segment, Natty, to get your fantasy advice. I am.
Oh, my God.
I'm in a keeper league, and this person is at the bottom of our keeper league, and I am dealing with some injuries, some players who are out, and I'm looking to do a rather drastic shakeup on things. And so this person has some people who are already out, and they're just bottom of the league. And so I was thinking, okay, maybe I give them some players who are out for extended period of time or for the whole season as like, you're looking ahead to next year. Let's you rebuild. So I want your honest opinion. They have Damian Lillard. I am trying to trade for Damian Lillard. Jrue Holiday, Caris LeVert, and maybe John Collins. Does that seem fair?
Without being able to see the rosters, I do think that's fair. Okay. I mean, Dame, if you're going to be trading for a guy who can be top 10 in fantasy, then you have to be able to provide like three dudes who will be top 30. You know, something like that. Like you can't just, unless you're giving them three rookies and picks and all the rest of it. But if you're trading real, like Jrue Holiday, real player.
100%.
So, and Caris LeVert is absolutely a real player as well. And he would be playing, except they found some cancer. And so obviously tend to your health and he'll be back next year and he'll be fucking fire. He'll be great.
Exactly. And if you're already shit in the league this year, it's like you want to look ahead to next year. Caris LeVert just sits on your bench, doesn't do you any harm. In fact, gets you a better draft spot. And then he'll be on your team next year. And then I was adding John Collins as like a, get you some boards as well.
Dude, he's been playing.
He's been great.
All three of those guys, John Collins and LeVert, are both young. Drew is what? 30, 31, 32,
32, I think.
But in his prime, we were just saying, like, you know, he could have, at least three or four more solid years. And Dame is one of those players where it's like, you can't trade him. You know, there's just no reason to unless you're willing to turn your team over. And when you're having a down year like this, and when there doesn't seem to be a lot of hope on the horizon, that's when you have to throw in your chip. Be like, okay, yep, here's my best dude. Just give me some young stuff back and some good players. Maybe it, you know, creates a domino effect. So yeah, I like that. I mean, if it was me, I would still try to needle you for something else.
Totally. But
that seems fair to me. Yeah.
The key is you never, you want to propose the first trade you propose want to be, you want it to be at least in the ballpark enough that the person's just like, no, that's insulting. And that's all I was registering.
Yeah.
For.
Right. You don't want to be like, hey, do you want Kira Lewis straight up?
Hey, Deshaun Tate has been really good. Him for Luca, who says no.
Luca, man, they really, I don't know what's going on with the Mavericks, whatever. That's for another podcast.
Yeah. Peyton Pritchard, 8 points on 5 minutes. What are you looking forward to this week?
Number one in the draft if you redid it right now.
Yeah, baby.
I'm looking forward to watching hopefully some more Isaiah Stewart for the Pistons because Ja Okafor is out for 6 to 8 weeks. Who cares? There's a reason to believe that the Minnesota Timberwolves aren't completely dead. And now Cat's back. So they're 6-19. I know this sounds crazy, but the Memphis Grizzlies, who are in the 10th seed right now, are 10-10. That's 4 games. You can make that up if you have 2 good weeks. So Cat is such a star on offense. It seemed like COVID really got him bad, which is just piling on.
God, he has just had the worst fucking year.
It's absolutely atrocious, that guy. Which is why I want to send him some love and be like, yo, if they go on a 5-game win streak and Big Cat's back, then why the fuck not? That team's supposed to be better than OKC. They're supposed to be better than the Rockets right now after the Harden trade. It's a team that has traded for and drafted talent. And I mean, Malik Beasley is a felon and Josh Okogie isn't doing very well. And maybe the coach sucks, but fuck all of that. Big Cat can do what Big Cat does. So I am hoping that he's, you know, I don't expect him to be healthy, but if you could see him play and he doesn't look like stricken, then I would be super excited about that.
I totally agree. And I also totally support your notion of giving Big Cat some love because he has been through an absolutely garbage year, a year that I can't even fathom handling, and is still playing basketball. So I give
much
all my love
to Carl Anthony, for sure.
Amen. With that, we are done. Make sure to subscribe to the Fake Teams podcast wherever you get your podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher. That is how you'll not only get us, but also our fantasy baseball and fantasy football podcast. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at The Long 2 Podcast. Natty, until next week, stay safe, my friend.
You do the same. Everybody, ditto.
Ditto.